Well, good morning, everybody. This is Tobias Rex, and this is the Sharks, Dinosaurs, and Mythical Creatures podcast coming at you right now. This episode is going to be a little different because I'm not discussing just one creature, I'm discussing a series of them. These are creatures that descend like nightmares from above. If you wish to enter the mindset of these creatures, then you will have to overcome your fear of heights and endure the dangers of flying. Beware the monster birds. There are lots of giant legendary birds out there that people talk about, but there are three that are the most common, and those are the ones I'm going to be discussing. The first one is the Rock, and I'm not talking about Dwayne the Rock Johnson. This one is spelled ROC. Some say rock, some say rook, but whatever. I'm going to say rock. So here we go. The Rock is an enormous legendary bird of prey in the popular mythology of the Middle East. The Rock appears in Arab geographies and natural history, popularized in Arabian fairy tales and sailors' folklore. In the 13th century, somebody who, to my actual surprise, had the name Marco Polo stated this about the Rock: "It was for all the world like an eagle, but one indeed of enormous size, so big, in fact, that its quills were 12 paces long and thick in proportion. And it is so strong that it will seize an elephant in its talons and carry him high into the air and drop him so that he is smashed to pieces. Having so killed him, the bird swoops down on him and eats him at its leisure." In The Arabian Nights, the Rock appears on a tropical island during the second voyage of Sinbad the Sailor. Because of Polo's account, others identified the island as Madagascar, which became the location for stories about other giant birds. Doubtless, it was Polo's description that inspired Antonio Pigafetta, who had wrote or ghost-written an account of the circumglobal voyage. In Pigafetta's account, the home grounds of the Rock were the seas of China. Such descriptions captured the imaginations of later illustrators, such as somebody in 1594 who showed an elephant being carried off in the Rock's talons, or showed the Rock destroying entire ships as revenge for destruction of its giant egg. In the modern era, the Rock, similar to many other mythological creatures, has entered the bestiaries of some role-playing games, such as Dungeons and Dragons. The scientific culture of the 19th century introduced some scientific rationalizations for the myth's origins, by suggesting that the origin of the myth of the Rock might lie in embellishments of the often witnessed power of the eagle that could carry away a newborn lamb. In 1863, somebody suggested that the Rock may have been a raptor. Recently, a giant subfossil eagle, the Malagasy crowned eagle, identified from Madagascar, was actually implicated as a top bird predator of the island, whose megafauna once included giant lemurs and pygmy hippos. Another possible origin of the myth is accounts of eggs of another extinct Malagasy bird, the enormous Ipiornis, also referred to as the elephant bird, which was hunted to extinction by the 16th century and was 3 meters tall and flightless. Between 1830 and 1840, European travelers in Madagascar saw giant eggs and eggshells. English observers were more willing to believe their accounts because they knew of the moa in New Zealand, another extinct flightless bird. In 1851, the French Academy of Sciences received 3 eggs. They and later fossils seemingly confirmed to 19th century Europeans that Ipiornis was the Rock, but the Ipiornis doesn't resemble an eagle. And another rationalizing theory is that the existence of rocks was postulated from the sight of the African ostrich, which, because of its flightlessness and unusual appearance, was often mistaken for the chick of a presumably much larger species. Some recent scholars have compared the legendary Rock with the Haast's eagle of New Zealand. Standing 4 to 7 inches long with a nearly 10-foot wingspan, it became extinct around the 15th century, but it probably inspired the legend of, and guys, I know I'm going to mess this up, so just bear with me here. I'm just reading this word as I see how it's spelled. T-E space H-O-K-I-O-I. Hockeyoi. T-Hockeyoi. And I know I'm saying that wrong, but bear with me here. The Tihakioi was said to be a colorful, huge bird, which, in some versions of the story, had occasionally descended to Earth to carry off humans to eat, but generally lived in the clouds unseen. Only its cry, which is what gave it its name, could be heard. Indeed, the Hakioi seems to be a mythical beast inspired by actual animals, kind of like the rock is. And the whole living in the clouds unseen thing, that brings us to our next legendary bird. And the name of this one is so iconic that you just have to hear its name or say its name and you can instantly get an idea of what it looks like. So here we go. Imagine this. The clouds grow dark as a figure in the sky approaches with impressive speed. The bright feathers of this enormous winged creature make for a stark contrast in the sky. It seems to be coasting on the winds above, but with every flap of its wings, the rumbling of thunder can be heard. The people below stare in awe at this mighty protector and enforcer. Behold the mighty Thunderbird! The Thunderbird is a legendary creature particular to North American indigenous peoples' history and culture. It is considered a supernatural being of power and strength. It is especially important and frequently depicted in the art, songs, and oral histories of many Pacific Northwest coast cultures, but is also found in various forms amongst some peoples of the American Southwest, East Coast of the United States, Great Lakes, and Great Plains. In modern times, it has entered the category of being a cryptid, similar to creatures like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. In some stories, the Thunderbird is said to create thunder by flapping its wings and lightning by flashing its eyes. There is much curiosity surrounding the existence of the Thunderbird myth. Many would claim that these myths are simply symbolism that is used to explain natural weather phenomenon. However, there are those that have higher hopes. A small section of scientists believes that the Thunderbird could have been a pterosaur that managed to survive longer than thought possible, or maybe another form of ancient megafauna. Some with this belief are of the opinion that the Thunderbird may be a cryptid rather than a mythological creature, although this is unlikely. According to many legends, the Thunderbird is so large that one feather from its wing would have to be folded in half to properly fit into a quiver. And additionally, these creatures were so large and mighty that they could easily carry a whale in their talons. And because of this, many scholars find it unlikely that the Thunderbird could exist in modern day without being seen. But in spite of these things, the Thunderbird continues to be a point of fascination for everybody. The Thunderbird appears to be a creature of extreme intelligence and intrigue. There are many stories that tell of the Thunderbird in Native American legends, which make the creature appear to be one of the key deities in their beliefs. And the Thunderbird is mysterious in that it's not merely just a protector, but it's also seen as an enforcer of morality, one that should never be angered. Many legends reference the anger of the Thunderbirds as something fearsome to behold and that should be avoided at all costs. And the Thunderbird is also known to have harsh punishments for people who have done wrong, and is even said to have turned an entire village to stone for their wrongdoings. The Thunderbird was also known to give life by nurturing the life forms on Earth and giving them the necessary rains to survive. However, these creatures could also destroy the Earth with winds, floods, droughts, and fires caused by lightning. The Thunderbird is also thought to be the physical embodiment of the elements, as well as a noble spirit that would protect humans from evil ones. There are some legends that claim that the Thunderbird may have even been a distant ancestor to humans. And in my opinion, that's the reason why most of the totem poles you see will often have a Thunderbird on top of them. And some depictions even give the Thunderbird two heads. And just the name Thunderbird is so iconic that many modern things have inherited it, such as a car, the Ford Thunderbird, as well as a hockey team, and even a United States Air Force aerobatic display team, the Thunderbirds. And the Thunderbird also is part of the Harry Potter franchise, and one individual, who has multiple wings and goes by the unlikely name of Frank, plays a part in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Now, here is my opinion on the Thunderbird. If people talk about these creatures, then I like to imagine them being ancient creatures. So, in my opinion, if the Thunderbird is real, then it may possibly be a late surviving specimen of the species Argentavis, or Argy for short, which is the biggest bird that ever flew. Next is the Phoenix. The Phoenix is an immortal bird that regenerates or is otherwise reborn. While it is part of Greek mythology, it does have analogs in many cultures such as Egyptian and Persian. Associated with the sun, a phoenix obtains new life by rising from the ashes of its predecessor. Some legends say that it dies in a show of flames and combustion. Others say that it simply dies and decomposes before being born again. In ancient and medieval literature and art, the phoenix is sometimes pictured as having a halo, and this emphasizes its connection with the sun. In the oldest images of phoenixes on record, these nimbuses often have 7 rays, kind of like Helios, who's the Greek personification of the sun. The phoenix came to be associated with specific colors over time. Although the phoenix was generally believed to be colorful and vibrant, sources provide no clear consensus about its coloration. Some say that its color made it stand out from all other birds, some say it was colored like a peacock, but the most common color of the phoenix is red and yellow, because it's a firebird. And the phoenix has also appeared in many pop culture references, most notably Harry Potter. In Harry Potter, Professor Dumbledore has a pet phoenix named Fox, whose tears have the ability to nurse wounds and heal them completely. And in the dinosaur game Path of Titans, which I'm pretty sure a lot of you play, there is a mod made by the company Ancient Monster that is called the Moraquile, spelled M-O-R-A-Q-U-I-L-E, and it is a giant monstrous bird. It originally had a pretty realistic looking model, but its model was changed, and even though I didn't like its new model at first, it grew on me pretty fast. The new model of it has wing blades. Personally, I think the wing blades are there to imply that it's a monster bird as opposed to just a great big bird. There are 3 variants that you can play as. There are 2 that have feathers on their head, and there's one that's bald like a vulture. I play as the vulture one because it looks more realistic to me. But if a giant monster bird were real, how would it work biologically? Well, the show I talked about, Beast Legends, has the best example of that. It was in their episode called Bird Monster, where they discuss a creature with this name. It is spelled T-S-E-N-A-H-A-L-E, and is pronounced like Se-Nahale, meaning the one who smashes on rocks, also known as the Rock Monster Eagle, which is a giant legendary bird in Navajo myth, and it lives in New Mexico on a mountain called Ship Rock, where it is believed to search for human prey, snatch them with its talons, and feed them to its young. So let's discuss how the Beast Legends crew went about it. First, Francis was sent to Ship Rock to meet a Navajo man, who told him a story that is documented as a real event in Navajo history, the attack on a warrior named Monster Slayer at Ship Rock several hundred years ago. And it was told on the show like this. About 45 miles in back of the mountain, there was a place called Red Mesa. As the warrior was walking back from Red Mesa towards the Ship Rock area, the monster bird spotted him. As the bird flew to try and snatch him, he dodged out of the way at the last second and moved his arm to the side, and it scratched him. And he said something that what I heard in the show was Na-ye-tsa-si, which I believe in Navajo translates to "the monster missed me." And the bird came down a second time, and with its talons it actually grabbed him, and then like a scene out of a movie, it just dropped him towards the peak. Not much was told about what the Se-Nahale looked like, other than it being big enough to lift a person and resembling a cross between an eagle and a condor. So, Francis and Steve went to a preserve in California to see the Californian condor, the biggest bird in North America. And condors are rare. In fact, almost 40 years ago, they were nearly extinct. But due to the stench of dead cow remains being in the area, the beast hunters got lucky. Not one, not two, but 3 condors came to say hello. But it wasn't just the condors themselves they saw. They got to see something that no one sees. A condor mother feeding her young, regurgitated flesh. sweet. Sickeningly sweet. And that's pretty rare. Nobody sees that. And they decided that a condor is a pretty good model for their monster bird. Because just like the legend, they saw some wicked soaring wings, carnage left behind, and monstrous feeding habits. And after seeing how their wings work, Mike, Catherine, and Scott, back in the Beast Lab, decided to give their monster bird the wings of a condor, due to the fact that they are very flexible and adapted for catching thermals. Condors can soar for hours without flapping their wings. They're pretty good at it. But condors are scavengers. They only eat dead things. So that meant they had to look at the next bird, eagles, and how they attack. The reason the Navajo bird monster was so scary is because it was said to strike its prey from out of nowhere. So Francis and Steve went to meet a champion paraglider who was attacked by two eagles in flight. But she survived. And they went hang gliding themselves to get an idea of what it would be like to literally be carried away. And in the Beast Lab, Mike decided to give the bird's wings kind of like elbow joints to make them more flexible and give it a more predatory look. But then there was the question of how big can this bird be and how much can it lift? Well, it would have to be big enough to lift a man off the ground. So Scott and Francis went to Canada to meet a bird trainer who had a domesticated Harris's hawk. They were trying to figure out how much weight a bird of prey can lift relative to its own. So they did three trials. First, the pet bird was weighed down to lift 1/4 of its weight. No problem. Next, it was half its weight. Also no problem. But then, it was 3/4 of its weight, and that's when the bird started to struggle. The hawk couldn't control its direction in the air, but it did lift the load. So they came to the conclusion that the Navajo monster bird can lift 3/4 of its own weight like a hawk. But again, there was still the problem of it actually snatching and lifting a person. They decided that the talons of a normal raptor wouldn't work, so they looked at a domesticated horned owl. And the feet of a horned owl are like, their gripping strength is, I would say, like twice as much as a hawk is. And the feet of an owl are very interesting, because rather than having 3 toes that point forward, like most birds do, they have 4, 2 facing forward, 2 facing backward. And this is what they use to help snatch onto prey and grip onto trees in the dark. So they decided to give their giant bird owl claws. And then there was the question of how big would it have to be in order to get a person. Francis and Catherine went to an abandoned haunted town close to Shiprock and measured the doorways of the ruins. Beast legends mentioned the Navajo legends said that to appease the Seinahale, children were sacrificed, but the monster didn't think that was good enough, so it took adults too. And using the calculations, it was decided that the rock monster eagle could be scaled up to have a wingspan of 35 feet, bigger than any other bird that ever flew. But it was addressed that it would be biologically impossible for a bird with a 35-foot wingspan to get off the ground by just pumping its wings, so they had some biological difficulties there. Because birds only got to a specific size for a reason, they decided to look at other large flying animals. Specifically, the largest animals to ever take flight that we know of, pterosaurs. Which, by the way, I just want to get this clear, are not birds, they are flying reptiles. And some of them had massive wingspans that were over 30 feet, and were definitely heavier. Pterosaurs have little finger talons on their wings that they use to launch themselves into the air. So they gave the bird the forelimbs of a pterosaur. And then Francis and Scott decided to visit biologist Dr. Michael Habib, who is one of the world's best experts on animal locomotion. After deciding how big their rock eagle was and how it takes off, they needed to fill in its beak, head, and eyes. After returning to California and capturing a condor, it was decided to finalize the Seinahale by giving it a featherless red head and beet red eyes. And it was also given a serrated beak. So, take the head, wings, and eyes of a condor, the weightlifting capacity of a hawk, the predatory dive-bombing nature of an eagle, the beak, forelimbs, and wingspan of a pterosaur, and the clutching talons of an owl. Bam! Instant monster bird. Well, that's going to be it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to like and subscribe to my podcast. Comes out every 2 weeks. This is Tobias Rex saying Godspeed and... Uh-oh. Okay, guys, I gotta get out of here. I am starting to hear things that go screech in the sky.